Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Incarceration and healthcare are just two of the problems in Freddie Gray's former West Baltimore neighborhood of Sandtown. Another is decrepit housing. The block of abandoned row houses directly across the street from where Gray was arrested is slated for demolition by the city of Baltimore. But a group of local activists are trying to stop that demolition. Community organizers last year began cleaning and renovating an abandoned house on the corner opposite where Gray was arrested. They call it Harriet Tubman House and have renovated it with the hope of creating a community center and providing services and training to people in that neighborhood. Now, the problem is that the city of Baltimore owns that house, and it says the activists have no claim to it. The city wants to push ahead with plans to raise it so the block can be redeveloped. Lawrence Grand Prix is Assistant Director for Research for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, a grassroots public policy organization in Baltimore, Maryland. And he joins me now. Welcome, Lawrence.
Thank you for having me.
Talk about Harriet Tubman House. Where is it? What does the community around it look like?
So Tubman House is in Sandtown, Winchester, the community where Freddie Gray lived and unfortunately was arrested and died. It is a collaboration of many grassroots entities in a coalition who are interested in empowering communities. So these folks have been working in the community since before the Freddie Gray incident, and they were doing community outreach, food giveaways, school supply giveaways, and they said we need physical space so that we can offer it to the community so that they can have the type of programming that they want in the community. So for about 12 to 18 months, these folks have been sending out feelers to folks in the city to try to get access to a city-owned vacant home. Baltimore owns thousands of vacant homes, some of which they're trying to sell, but most of which they're just trying to knock down. And they realize the process by which the city has developed to get vacant homes is designed to facilitate the needs of developers with large pockets and not for community folks. And so out of frustration and sheer necessity, folks in the community basically said, hey, there are city-owned vacant homes that are in good condition all over the place. This process is simply untenable. We're just going to take one. We're just going to go in and we're going to physically claim a city-owned vacant home so that we can have space to do the work that we're doing in the community. So Tubman House is a city-owned vacant house that has been, I like to say, liberated from the city-owned vacant housing stock in Baltimore City.
Take a minute and describe the street around Tubman House, the block, what it looks like.
Well, Sandtown, Winchester, despite getting $100 million in federal and state investment in the early 90s, it was supposed to be a poster child for urban renewal, has become really a poster child for urban decay. There are some vacant homes. It's not the worst part in the city in terms of vacant homes, but there are vacant homes that are collapsing in the neighborhood. It's a neighborhood where, I mean, you're going to see a lot of murals after the Freddie Gray incident, but you'll also see not many examples of civil society that are flourishing in terms of community centers or things besides corner stores and liquor stores that the people have access to. It's a typical West Baltimore neighborhood.
Well, Lawrence Grand Prix, the state of Maryland has a $700 million redevelopment plan that includes tearing this block down and lots of blocks like it. The city says you're squatters, that you have no right to be there. So what are the next steps?
Now, most of the advocates are saying they feel this is basically holy ground. And they're saying strategically, having that corner, this is literally at the corner where Freddie Gray was arrested. So if we want to establish this as a safe space for the community, we're saying it's extremely strategic, pragmatically, for us to have access to this corner in terms of having that be a safe space, which lots of street organizations, as we call them, will be willing to respect. The city seems adamant they want to knock down the house, but we are trying to negotiate in good faith with the city to get access with the land to potentially build something new, if indeed a demolition goes forward. So we're open to compromise, but our argument is we were working in this community before Freddie Gray happened, and we're going to keep working in this community. So we really hope that it doesn't come to loggerheads with the city and we can have a mutually agreeable solution. I see that as very possible, but I think it's up to the city to step out of its bureaucratic mode and understand that folks have taken these strategies really out of desperation, not just for the conditions in the community, but because of the exasperation with the political process in Baltimore, that we need to have a different paradigm of politics that accounts for the fact that people in the community aren't going to wait and pray only for people to come save them. Grassroots folks are going to save themselves, and you should be investing in those grassroots efforts, not literally trying to tear them down.
Lawrence Grand Prix is Assistant Director for Research for Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle. Lawrence, thank you.
Thank you.